الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد، respected listeners, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you to our daily discussion slightly earlier today on the topic of Islamic manners and etiquettes, min adab al-Islam. From now till inshallah iftar, I will try to discuss the last couple of pages of this book, Min Adab al-Islam, written by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah, that we have been studying over the course of this blessed month of Ramadan. If you remember, yesterday, just before iftar, I announced that we will have an extra session in the evening. And actually, we did have a 2.5 hour session at night, last night, after Salatul Taraweeh, wherein I discussed many issues of this book. The first topic that was discussed in detail was the issue of expressing one's condolences, the etiquettes, the rules, the virtues of consoling someone. When you go and visit someone, when you do ta'ziyah, what you should say and what you should not say, and what are the etiquettes, what are the rules, and such many Quranic verses and hadiths and certain sayings and poetry of the early scholars, all of this was mentioned. And then we went on to another topic, which was the manners of conversation, which was absolutely very important. The rules of conversation, how you speak to people, how it's important that we speak in a pleasant, low and suitable tone. We mentioned the way and the practice and the akhlaq of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard, verses of the Quran, and also some sayings of the early scholars and their practice. Like, they would never raise their voice, especially when they were talking and conversing with people who were senior to them. And then we talked about, in conversation, the importance of listening, the art of listening. How important it is that we listen attentively. We give attention to people. We face towards people when we listen to them, when they are talking to us. We maintain eye contact. We shouldn't interrupt people. We shouldn't break people's conversation up. All of this we discussed last night in great detail and at great lengths. Now, after that, we move on to the next topic. We move on to another topic, which is brief, and then inshallah we have some few etiquettes regarding marriage, and let's see how if we can complete the book today. If not, then the next day inshallah. The author of this book, Min Adab al-Islam, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda al-Halabi rahimahullah, he says, in the next section, he's got a small brief section wherein he is giving brief advice specifically to his sisters. So this is advice to his sisters. He's saying advice to my sisters. And he says, وَكَلِمَةٌ وَجِيزَةٌ إِلَى الْأُخْتِ الْمُسْلِمَةِ وَالْعَزِيزَةِ الْمُؤْمِنَةِ, that a small brief advice to my dear Muslim sister. Okay, so this whole section, and it's actually very brief, and actually what he is mentioning in this section, most of it, if not all, he has already covered previously. You know, before we've talked about how important it is that we take appointments before we go to people's houses, the way we knock on the door, ensuring that we go at appropriate times at people's houses, we don't go at inappropriate times, we don't go at people's houses when they are eating or when it's sleeping time, things like that. So all of this has already been covered. But the Shaykh in this section, he actually thought that sisters were more neglectful in this regard, and hence these points and these adab and these etiquettes are in need of being repeated again for the sisters. So sisters give more importance to it. This is the whole reason why in this book, Min Adab al-Islam, the Shaykh rahimahullah is re-mentioning this, okay? So he says here, وكلمة وجيزة إلى الأخت المسلمة والعزيزة المؤمنة. Brief advice to my Muslim sister, my dear Muslim sister. He's used the word dear, والعزيزة المؤمنة. He says, إذا أردت زيارة أهلك. إذا أردت. See, this the way this is read in Arabic is with the, you know, addressing the feminine gender. If you say to a male, then you would say إذا أردت with a فتحة. And if you talk to a female, you say إذا أردتي, right? It's like the fatha and the kasra. When you're talking to a man, then it's always fatha. دخلت, خرجت, فعلت. And when it's a female, then you put a kasra. دخلتي, خرجتي. When you say جزاك الله to a man, you would say جزاك الله to a female, right? So here we read إذا أردتي زيارة أهليكي. أو بعض صديقاتك المؤمنات فراعي اختيار اليوم والوقت الملائم للزيارة بدءا وانتهاء فهناك أوقات تحسن فيها الزيارة وأوقات لا تحسن فيها الزيارة حتى بين الأهل والأصدقاء. He says that, look my dear sister, when you want to visit your family, your relatives, your friends, your fellow Muslim friends, then make sure, give consideration to the fact that you choose the right day and the right and appropriate time for visitation. We've already discussed this. If you remember a few days ago when we talked about in the book, where is it? In the section of, yeah, we had a whole section about the manners of visiting, and the Sheikh said that وينبغي, it's appropriate, and تتخير الوقت الملائم, that you choose the appropriate time for visitation, and you sit for a duration time which is appropriate, which corresponds to your kind of relationship with your host. So you sit according to your relationship, the time. But again, the Sheikh is feeling the need to re-emphasize this for the sisters, because sisters are more neglectful. He said, look sisters, select the right time. And seriously, it's true. There are certain things in which brothers are neglectful, okay? They're, without a doubt. And there are certain things wherein sisters are more neglectful, okay? And this is something. Some sisters, unfortunately, they just don't think. They just think any time is okay to go to somebody's house. And when you go to somebody's house, and then if you tell them that, look, sorry, we can't receive you right now, it's difficult, then they say, oh, we've walked all the way, we've come from here. That's your fault. You should have phoned, you should have made an appointment, you should have beforehand given advanced notification, inquired whether it's the right time to come or not. Okay? So he says, choose the right time. First of all, it's good, important to make an appointment. And if not, then don't go at eating time, drinking time, sleeping time, resting time. بدءاً وانتهاءاً. The Sheikh says that even duration should not be too long. Choose the correct time to go and visit, and choose appropriate time to start your visit and end your visit. This was also discussed earlier in detail, that some people just don't, you know, think properly. They just sit, okay? And the Sheikh said that, you know, earlier on. We discussed this, that look, don't sit too long at somebody's house. Here, he's specifically mentioning this again to the sisters, that sisters, you are more vulnerable to this and more neglectful of this particular fact, that you don't think. Sometimes some sisters go to their friend's house, and remember, don't assume and presume. And that's what the Sheikh mentioned earlier on. Oh, they won't, our relationship is very good. You know, we're like sisters. Everybody's like sisters, and we're supposed to be like sisters. And it's part of being sisters that you don't harm someone. They're not going to tell you. They will not let you know that they're being inconvenienced. But seriously, some women just do not understand. They don't use their brains. They go there, somebody's house, sit there from like afternoon till evening, till Asr and Maghrib and Isha, and you know. And they just sit there. And it's like the family wants to eat maybe. Household wants to eat. And that's it. They just don't get the message. Remember, sisters, it's wrong. It's sinful. You are inconveniencing people. The Sheikh says, فَهُنَاكَ أَوْقَاتٌ تَحْسُنُ فِيهَا الزِّيَارَةُ. There are certain times in which visiting and visitation is good. وَأَوْقَاتٌ لَا تَحْسُنُ فِيهَا الزِّيَارَةُ. There are certain other times in which visitation is not good. حَتَّى بَيْنَ الْأَهْلِ وَالْأَصْدِقَاءِ. Even amongst family members and relatives and friends. even amongst relatives and friends. Don't take it for granted. Don't think, oh, this is my close friend, no problem, they wouldn't mind. Okay? Everybody minds. We would mind as well. Even if it's your own brother, sister, you know, coming. It's difficult sometimes. So just use a bit of intelligence and don't inconvenience people. And then the Shaykh moves on to explain. He says, وَلْيَكُنْ شَأْنُكِ فِي الزِّيَارَةِ شَأْنَ الظِّلِّ اللَّطِيفِ الْخَفِيفِ الْمُحَبَّبِ. Subhanallah, very important. وَلْيَكُنْ شَأْنُكِ فِي الزِّيَارَةِ شَأْنَ الظِّلِّ اللَّطِيفِ الْخَفِيفِ الْمُحَبَّبِ لَا إِثْقَالَ وَلَا إِمْلَالَ وَلَا فُضُولَ وَلَا تَطْوِيلَ. Let your visit, the way you should be, O sister, وَلْيَكُنْ شَأْنُكِ فِي الزِّيَارَةِ. Your situation in visiting people should be such that your visit is nice, gentle, brief, loved, likable. That's the kind of visit you should have, in which there is la ithqala, there is no burdening other people, wa la imlala, no boredom in it, no uselessness in it, and no length in it. The Shaykh has used few words. He's saying, look, he says, make sure that when you go and visit someone, your visit should be brief, gentle. Sha'na al-dhil means nice. In Arabic, when you say sha'na al-dhilli, dhilli meaning it's khafif al-dhil. Likeable, latif, you know, it's nice, they like your visit, brief and loved. And then he said, look, when you visit someone, there should be no burdens, there should not be no burden on the other person. La ithqala, thiqal. Thiqal means like something, there's a burden on your back. So your visit should not cause a burden on someone. Wala imlala, malal, imlal. There should be no, boredom in it. Don't bore people with your visit. When you go into somebody's house, don't just sit there and bore them with your conversation. La fudul. Don't make it useless. Fudul. Don't make your visit useless. And don't make it too long. La taqweel. Avoid four things. Avoid burdening people. Avoid boring people. Avoid just talking about useless stuff. Make it beneficial. And don't make it too long. Okay? In other words, when you go and visit someone, it should be beneficial. You should talk about useful things. It should be brief. There should be no boredom in it. Right? And the Shaykh says that the only purpose when you go and visit someone, وَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زِيَارَةُ صِلَةٍ وَالسُّقْيَا صَدَاقَةٍ أَوْ قَرَابَةٍ. Remember, when you go and visit someone, it's only, the purpose of visiting is only to زِيَارَةُ صِلَةٍ. It's a visit of maintaining ties. And it's suqya, it's nourishing your friendship and your relationship. If we're visiting a friend, then you're watering. Because remember, this relationship of friendship needs to be watered, needs to be nourished. So that's what you're just doing. Whenever you're visiting people, you're watering this relationship of friendship. Or if it's your cousins, your relatives, then you are watering this relationship of kinship. Okay, that's the only thing, you are maintaining ties. And therefore, the Shaykh says, فَتُحَبُّ الصِّلَةُ. This maintaining ties will be desirable, إِذَا كَانَتْ قَصِيرَةً لَطِيفَةً. When your visit is short and when it's brief and nice and good. You know, when you go and visit someone too much, then the relationship becomes sour. That's what the Shaykh is trying to say here, brothers and sisters. There's actually a hadith wherein the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, زُرْ غِبًّا تزدد حبا. زر غبا تزدد حبا. Visit occasionally, you will increase in love. Don't go and visit someone too long, too much, and for too long, duration of time. Keep it occasional, and keep it brief and short. Keep it occasional, and keep it, what did we say, brief and short. Okay? And seriously, if you keep it brief and short and occasional, this will actually increase your love. You know, absence, as they say, what do they say? Absence brings the heart closer and fonder, right? So, this is what the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. You know, don't bore people with your visit. He's explaining the Shaykh, the author, directing it to the sisters. And actually, sisters do have this problem, even via phone. You know, if you talk too long, every night you're talking to your friend for like an hour, 2 hours, just talking. You know what? Ask yourself, how many people have actually, their friendship has broken down because of becoming too close? Seriously, Your connection should be more with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Use your time, sister, use your time in worshipping Allah, recitation of the Quran. Read some books, read some Islamic literature, or just some other books, beneficial books, with on different topics. Don't waste your time on long phone calls. Don't visit people for too long. Of course, you need to socialize slightly, fine, but everything has its appropriate time. And the Shaykh is saying here that, look, you don't make your visit that has burden in it. Don't bore people. Don't make it useless. Don't make it futile. Make it beneficial. Make it just brief. It's only to water the plant. It's only to nourish the relationship. And Allah has ordered us to do that. That's it. Don't make it short. And he says, وَتُسْتَثْقَلُوا إِذَا كَانَتْ طَوِيلَةً مُمِلَّةً. When a visit becomes too long and boring, when you go too much to somebody's house, phone them too much, or speak to someone for too long, or stay at the house for too long, then what happens? It becomes a burden. And then what happens? Ultimately, number one, your relationship might break down, okay? Your relationship might break down because you're too close to one another. And then the Shaykh mentions something very important. وَتَنْتَقِلُ فِيهَا الْأَحَادِيثُ وَالْمُسَامَرَةُ مِنَ الْغَالِ لِلْرَخِيصِ. And then ultimately and consequently, because you're sitting for too long, remember when you're sitting at somebody's house for too long, how long can you talk for in terms of beneficial stuff, useful stuff? Only for a short period of time. And then after that, what will happen, the Shaykh says, the conversation will then move on. وَالْمُسَامَرَةُ. And your discussion and your conversation will move on from purposeful, from valuable, مِنَ الْغَالِي لِلْرَخِيصِ. غَالِي means something that's purpose, something that has a purpose to it. Purposeful. From being purposeful to invaluable, to cheap kind of conversation. That's why I make it short and brief. Because if you don't make it short and brief, then conversation will move on to something that is invaluable, something that's useless, futile. You'll start talking about just absolutely useless stuff, okay? And then he quotes, قَالَ التَّابِعِيُّ الْجَلِيلُ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ شِهَابٍ الزُّهْرِيِّ إِذَا طَالَ الْمَجْلِسُ كَانَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ فِيهِ نَصِيبٌ. The great Tabi'i, this is a famous Tabi'i, Muhammad bin Shihab al-Zuhri, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, he was a great muhaddith, one of the people who actually had a great part in compiling hadith right at the beginning, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, in the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu. So Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri radiallahu anhu says, when a majlis, a gathering, becomes long, then shaytan and Satan has a part in your gathering. إِذَا طَالَ الْمَجْلِسِ كَانَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ فِيهِ نَصِيبٌ. The shaytan, Satan, has a share, a part in your gathering. He becomes a participant. And hence now, the shaytan will make you talk about useless things, about futile issues. The shaytan will actually make you talk about sinful things, idle talk. Okay, you will start gossiping, you will start backbiting, and that's why the Shaykh says that, look in the next line, وَلْيَكُنْ حَدِيثُكِ فِي زِيَارَتِكِ. O sister, let your conversation when you visit, كُلُّهُ أَوْ جُلُّهُ فِيمَا يَنْفَعُ أَوْ يُفِيدُ. These two final lines are very important. He says, وَلْيَكُنْ حَدِيثُكِ فِي زِيَارَتِكِ كُلُّهُ أَوْ جُلُّهُ فِيمَا يَنْفَعُ أَوْ يُفِيدُ بَعِيدًا عَنِ الْغِيبَةِ وَالنَّمِيمَةِ وَاللَّغْوِ وَالْهُرَاءِ. فَمَا يَتَّسِعُ الْوَقْتُ عِنْدَ الْمُسْلِمَةِ الْعَاقِلَةِ لِذَٰلِكَ. Subhanallah. O sister, let your conversation, when you visit your fellow sisters and your friends, most, if not all or most of your conversation, let it only be regarding that which is beneficial or that which gives benefit. فِيمَا يَنْفَعُ أَوْ يُفِيدُ. Both same, Your conversation should be about that, something which is of benefit. Talk about Islamic issues, or even worldly things, but that give benefit. And make sure your conversation is far, absolutely far and distant from ghibah, backbiting, from namima, tail-bearing, from law, futile talk, walhura'i, idle talk. Subhanallah. This is a very important, sisters, because Sisters are more affected with this, and this is why the author, Shaykh Rahimahullah, is directing all of this to the sisters. He says, look, make sure, and this is not just visiting, even phone calls. Keep it general. When you visit or when you make phone calls to your friends, to your fellow sisters, dear sisters, please, two things are very important. Make sure, for the sake of Allah, that you make it short and brief, and talk at appropriate times, and also talk about useful things. Now, sometimes sisters, you know, they have long gossips. And unfortunately, you know, the curse of all these free minutes that we have, mobile phones, seriously, it's a curse. You know, 1,000 free riba minutes. Seriously, that's what it is. That's what we need to call. 1,000 free namima, tail-bearing minutes. 1,000 free minutes to gossip about everybody except yourself. 1,000 free minutes to talk ill and bad about the whole world. Right? That's what these minutes are for. We don't really need them, seriously. If you look at the amount of time we use on the phone, which is of benefit and of great absolute need, it will be very, very less. Most of the free minutes are just to waste our precious time and be involved in sin, like ghibah, backbiting, such a major sin. One of maybe the greatest sin in Islam. Allah says, وَلَا يَغْتَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. I talked about ghibah right at the beginning of the month, so I don't want to repeat myself, okay? It's one of the greatest sins. Unfortunately, many of us, brothers and sisters, we are all involved in this. And we won't even realize, some so-called practicing people, seriously, we think we are practicing Muslims, and we still, we'll be reading our Quran in the month of Ramadan. MashaAllah, reading, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلَّا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَّنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهِ. And then suddenly the phone rings, you know, MashaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Yes, sister, how are you? This, that, and the other. And then, oh, have you heard about her? You know, she's, you know what she's done? Okay, just one minute. Let me just finish my page off, yeah? I'm just going to finish this one page off the Quran. I just don't get mixed up. And then you finish the ayah off, and you close your Quran, okay? MashaAllah. And then say, yeah, come on, sister, fill me in with all the info and conversation. What's happening? Really? Is that how bad she is? Oh, if it was me, you know what I would have done to her? I would just tell her where to go. And that's it. You start talking about her. Is that how evil she is? Is that how bad she is? Is that what she did? You know, things like that. What's the fa'idah? What's the benefit of you reading the Quran? Tell me, seriously, sister. There's no benefit. You'd rather not read one letter of the Quran but not backbite it about someone else. You would be far much better off. Seriously. You'd be far much better off. If there's a sister who does not recite the Quran, just sleeps throughout Ramadan, just as a fara'id and that's it, but she does not get involved in backbiting, and never talks about ill about other people, she has more far successful Ramadan. Especially whilst fasting. You know, there's actually a hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, you know, was informed about two women in his time, that they have both fasted and they are very close to death because they are really hungry and thirsty. So some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum came and asked, inquired that can they break their fast. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, call them to me. He told them that vomit. He ordered both of them to vomit. And when they vomited seriously. This is not a made up story. This is actually a hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. It's a fact. It's not fiction. This happened. And Allah shows this sometimes. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to vomit. When they vomited, pieces of flesh, meat, pus, blood came out. They filled two utensils. And you know what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He said, Hatani, these two women, صَامَتَ أَمَّا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمَا وَأَفْطَرَطَ أَمَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ لَهُمَا جَلَسَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا إِلَى الْأُخْرَى يَأْكُلَانِ لُحُومَ النَّاسِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That these two women, they stayed away. They fasted, they stayed away from that which Allah has made halal. Normally Allah has made water halal, chicken, you know, vegetables, all of this. Normal food, halal food, Allah has made halal. They stayed away from that by fasting. But they never stayed away, they never fasted, they made iftar, they never stayed away from that which Allah has always made haram, like ghiba, backbiting. Both of these two, they've been sitting since morning till night, and they've been backbiting, eating the flesh of people, which is always haram. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. This is a hadith in the Musnad of Ahmad. Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hence sisters, you know, just seriously, you know, when you talk too long, it's just shaytan, like tabi'i, this great tabi'i. What did he say? Whenever the majlis, when your conversation gets long, ultimately, Consequently, shaitan has a part and a share in it. So it's difficult to control yourself. If you are going to talk 1 hour on the phone with someone, you will end up talking about someone else. Right? So that's it. Just keep it short. Make your time valuable. Make it something that's so valuable that you utilize it. Use it, you know, in doing khidmah of your household, tarbiyah, upbringing of your children. Read some books, Islamic books. Do something worthwhile for the community. Utilize your time. And please, for the sake of Allah, avoid these long, long conversations over the phone. Don't go and visit people for too long. Just basic, you know, short phone calls in order to nourish your relationship of friendship, which Islam encourages. Other than that, make it short, make it brief, and your relationship will remain good, will be maintained as well. As we said, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Zurghibban tasud hubba." You know, if you occasionally visit and have contact, you will increase in love. And if you're all the time, just always together, then ultimately your relationship will break down. So this is a great, you know, hadith and great encouragement, or a great advice given by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So back, the Shaykh says here, and when you sit and when you go and visit your fellow Muslim sister, make sure when you talk about something, make sure it's just of benefit. And it's far away, and even phone call, as I said, we can generalize this to phone calls. Make sure when you talk to someone, your friend, your sister, your relative, make sure it's something of benefit. It should be far away from ghibah, from namima. Namima is tail-bearing. Massive siddiq. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَتَّتْ. Then the tail-bearer will never enter paradise. Allah mentions this, هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. Like a two-faced person. You go to someone with one face, you go to someone else with another face. And, this is one of the reasons because of which there's punishment in the grave. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he passed by two graves and he said that they are being punished in the grave, he said, أَمَّا هَذَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ وَأَمَّا هَذَا فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَنْزِهُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ. One of them used to not stay away from the drops of urine, and the other one would actually be involved in tail bearing. So tail bearing is a massive sin. So Sheikh says, make sure you're away from backbiting, from tail bearing, from futile talk, low, and from idle talk. And then finally he says, فَمَا يَتَّسِعُ الْوَقْتُ عِنْدَ الْمُسْلِمَةِ الْعَاقِلَةِ لِذَٰلِكَ. You know what the Sheikh says here? He says, look, a intelligent Muslim sister does not have time for all of this nonsense. An intelligent Muslim sister does not have time for all of this in terms of backbiting, tail-bearing, wasting time, idle talk, futile talk, you know, just long visits and long phone calls. An intelligent Muslim sister does not have time for it. She has far better important things to do, and her time is far more valuable. Hence, she will definitely avoid this. Anyway, that was something brief the Sheikh advised for the sisters. Then he moves on. So that we finished with a small advice to his sisters. Now he has something very short and brief, and something different etiquette before he moves on to the last section, which is of nikah. Again, this was all discussed, but I'll just quickly do this next section. He says, the Sheikh, the author of the book, rahimahullah, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ مَكَانٍ فِيهِ نِيَامٌ بِاللَّيْلِ أَوِ النَّهَارِ فَرَائِهِمْ وَتَلَطَّفْ فِي حَرَكَتِكَ وَصَوْتِكَ عِنْدَهُمْ. When you enter a house, so this is another section now, when you enter somebody else's house, when you enter your own house or somebody else's house, when people are sleeping, whether day or night, give consideration to their sleep. Don't disturb people. This is another etiquette, and this was briefly covered before as well. He says, تَلَطَّفْ, be gentle in your haraka, in your movements and in your voice. You know when someone's sleeping, make sure you are very, very gentle, tiptoe. وَلَا تَكُنْ ثَقِيلًا فِي ضَجِيجِكَ أَوْ دُخُولِكَ أَوْ خُرُوجِكَ. Do not be heavy and do not be too noisy. Don't make too much noise in your movements, in your entering and in your exiting. What the Sheikh is saying in this point, that look, when you are in your house or somebody else's house, in an area where people are sleeping, whether day or night, then just be considerate and calm and give consideration to the person who's sleeping. When you open the door, open it gently. We've talked about opening the door gently anyway before, but this is specifically when people are sleeping. Close the door, shut the door gently. When you walk, make sure you don't make too much noise. If you have to do certain things, then do it very, very calmly. Okay? The Shaykh says, بَلْ كُنْ رَفِيقًا لَطِيفًا. Rather be Rafiq and Latif. You know these two words, brothers and sisters? These two words have come on many occasions. And this whole book, you know, if you want to sum this book up, subhanAllah, these two words will sum this book up. Shaykh has mentioned here again, he says, be Rafiq and be Latif. Rafiq. Rafiq and Latif. These two words are like words amazing. Be gentle, be extremely pleasant. Latif means pleasant. And both of these are names of Allah. إن الله رفيق يحب الرفق في الأمر كله. I mentioned this hadith. Allah is رفيق. Allah is gentle. He loves gentleness in all matters. And لطيف is pleasantness, being pleasant. لطف. رفق and لطف. And he says, فقد سمعت قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من يحرم الرفق يحرم الخير كله. You must have heard the statement of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whoever is deprived from gentleness is deprived from all good. This hadith, we read this hadith before. وقال المقداد بن الأسود الصحابي الجليل رضي الله عنه كنا نرفع لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نصيبه من اللبن فيجيء من الليل فيسلم تسليما لا يوقظ النائم ويسمع اليقظان رواه مسلم والترمذي. هذا حديث مقداد بن أسود, the great صحابي رضي الله عنه, used to say, we used to narfa'u, we used to bring for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his share of milk. We used to bring for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his share of milk. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come at night. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come at night. And when he used to come at night, he used to see people sleeping. So he used to make salam and he used to greet in a way that would not wake up the sleeping people and let and allow the awake people hear. Hadith mentioned by Imam Muslim and Imam Tirmidhi. So when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do salam, when he would greet, when people would sleep, he would say it in such a tone, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, in that, so that those who are awake can hear, but those who are asleep are not disturbed. Subhanallah. This is, you know, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unique, as I was mentioning yesterday. Look at the next hadith. وَكَانَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا قَامَ يَتَهَجَّدُ بِاللَّيْلِ قَرَأَ بِصَوْتٍ يُؤْنِسُ الْيَقَظَانِ وَلَا يُوقِظُ الْوَسَنَانِ. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wake up in the middle of the night for tahajjud salah for qiyamu al-layl, he used to recite the Qur'an in a voice that would be pleasant for those awake, so they are able to hear, and that which does not awake the ones who are asleep. Al-wasanan, wasina yusanu, to sleep. You see, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would wake up at tahajjud salah, when he would recite the Qur'an in a way that doesn't disturb the sleeping people. And this is very important, brothers and sisters. You know, there's another hadith in which it is mentioned that when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wake up at night for tahajjud salah, he would walk out of his bed, he would tiptoe. He would, from his sleeping place, he would tiptoe as not to wake up his wife, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Subhanallah, so much concern. Amazing. If it was us today, what would we do? We'd probably bring the whole house down, seriously. If we wake up for tahajjud salah, we'd let everybody know that we've woken up for tahajjud prayer. Everybody should know. You know, yes, make all the noise. There was this one muhaddith, a great scholar of hadith. He used to stay awake all night in the worship of Allah, in ibadah, in tahajjud, qiyamul layl, and reading books and writing books and studying and researching. And then you know what he would do? Just before somebody would come to wake him up in the morning for Fajr Salah, he would quickly get into his bed. And when somebody would come to wake him up, he would pretend, he would stretch his arms and go, like that stretch. Just to pretend that he'd been sleeping all night. So that people don't know, it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your ibadah, your worship, when you wake up at tahajjud at night, it is for Allah, not to show people. Right? It's not to show people. So, when we wake up for night as tahajjud as well, we don't need to wake the whole house down and wake everybody up. Yes, it's good, recommended for the husband to wake up his wife and the wife, you know, to the point that if you sprinkle water in their eyes, there's great reward. But if you have that kind of arrangement, then wake them up. But if you don't have that arrangement and you've woken up early in your own time, then at night, the husband or the wife, whoever wakes up, should make sure they don't disturb other members of the household of the family. And this is a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the summary and the khulasa of this point is that whenever you are moving, entering, exiting, when you have to do things, when people are asleep around you, make sure you do it gently, be extremely considerate and careful and concerned about the sleep of those who are asleep. Because some people, they get disturbed very easily. And once you've disturbed them, their sleep, and interrupted their sleep, they might find it difficult to sleep again, and hence the whole day they need that sleep to be energized for the next day's work. And if you've disturbed them, then the whole next day would go into in vain, and hence you will be responsible for that. Anyway, so that was one just brief point in the middle which the Sheikh mentioned after giving advice to his sisters. And now finally we move into the last section of this book, which I have like 3 pages in front of me. I don't think we'll be able to finish this today, but we'll start it off, inshallah, and then we may just need a small 20-minute session after today's session, in which we can finish this section off, inshallah.